Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
All right, we're recording. We got Hezekiah.
Hezekiah.
I just said Hessa.
I know, you say Hezekiah.
Hezekiah. What's your last name?
Anahu Ambrosio.
I'm not even going to say that, man.
No, you can't chop it up, buddy.
We're over in Hawaii, and you've been a customer since I don't know how long ago.
Before your son was born, I'm pretty sure.
Bradley, right? I got my son next to me. Actually, you took us out hunting yesterday. We're going to go again today. Before he was born, you've been a customer. And so whenever I finally booked this Hawaii, we were supposed to do this before COVID, right? Whenever COVID happened. Yep. And we were going to come here. We had our spring break planned or whatever. And when that COVID happened, we figured you guys weren't too friendly with mainlanders and COVID.
Never.
We didn't want to be wearing masks when we were in Hawaii, so we were like, no.
Yep, it was a messed up time that time.
Yeah.
I think this whole island was on lockdown.
What was it like? Did everybody leave? No, nobody came? No tourism? No nothing or what?
No, there was is actually like you had to get check in. You had to make sure you got vaccinated. It was a big ordeal. To me, it was just out of control. And to fly, it was pretty hard for people to come in. But other than that, was it
kind of nice that there wasn't a bunch of people here?
It was in a way
for the locals and the hunting. And
actually, I felt like the ocean got a little bit more hammered.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because a lot of people wasn't working and everybody's camping down the beach.
Oh.
So everybody was Aloha Friday every day down the beach.
Fishing and hunting.
Everybody was fishing and hunting, for sure, for sure.
So how long have you been hunting? So you have pig dogs, hog dogs, right?
Yes, sir. I do. I've been hunting since I was, like I said, I want to say 4 years old was the first time I ever went hunting in my life. Four years old, yes.
With your dad?
Was with my cousin. My cousin, that's my dad's nephew. We lived on the farm with him. My dad was always working, so he didn't have time to take us. But my cousin who raised us.
What did he do for work?
My dad was, he worked for Penn Pacific. He was a safety coordinator at that time. And we lived on a farm. My cousin lived on the farm. We had our own house, but we lived so far. It was in Ocean View. It's from here. It's about an hour and a half from where we're at right now. And so instead of that, we drive that far. Sometimes we'd stay up at my cousin's house up on a farm way up in the mountains, living off total, just like Ocean View. No water, no electricity. Everything was just totally off grid.
Off the grid?
Off grid. Kerosene lanterns.
How big of a shack is that?
It was a coffee land house. It was a two-bedroom house. Two bedroom, one bath, full-on reservoir water.
What do you mean reservoir water?
Was just a regular reservoir. We had just...
Just a hole that...
With just a hole. Had rain. Water in there. I'm pretty sure it was... I mean, it is man-made, but it was there for who knows how long. And there was a pipeline used to go to the house. And, of course, you had to boil the water. And then we actually had like a... It was pretty rough, you know, on our water faucet. We had pantyhose on our water faucets, like socks, just so guppies wouldn't get in there, and we had to boil the water. And
so like the fish, like little fish
yes, but yeah,
pouring a glass of water and fish
we wouldn't drink the water. We'd shower, wash dishes, would boil the water, and then everything else would haul water from the water spigot or go down the road to a neighbor's house and just fill up the water containers.
So when you started for the dogs, like with your cousin, you're 4 years old, what was that like for you? Is it something that flipped a switch or what?
It was more amazing at the time. Like at the time, the first time I ever went hunting with dogs was when my mom worked at White Claw. My dad was at work. Their boat was at work. And again, we didn't have electricity. We lived off just regular block of ice, and we had no food at the house. And my parents didn't end up coming up because my mom had to work late. My dad stayed to pick up my mom, and at the time was just too busy. And my cousin who was raising us, his name was Aldo, he would, I just remember that afternoon, I know me, my brothers, my sisters, and we was kind of like, oh, what are we going to eat? Kind of worried, there's nothing to eat. Parents didn't come up, it was getting dark, no canned goods, we had nothing already because they didn't come up for two nights already. And I remember him just telling me, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. I remember we had a chicken farm. And after we do the chickens, we take care of it, then don't worry, we'll be fine. We'll get some dinner. He's like, oh, yeah. How are we going to do that? And then grab the dogs. And just like that, we went right out, right back in the yard. Back in the day, it was you grab a few dogs and we went. And we used to, it was a farm, so he used to had cucumbers, tomatoes, and one spot where they used to dump like all the rotten ones, and the pigs would come down, and my cousin knew, again, like the pigs is going to be there, had macnuts trees around, and he knew it was going to be there.
Right.
20 years ago, so I want to say no way, it was like 93 is like a long time ago, 30 years already. So we went
you
there.
Getting old.
Yeah.
So I look at him, I'm like, how old am I getting?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but we went and, you know, and let the dogs go. It was 5 minutes from the house. My sister, at the time, my sister was young. She was, and then my brother, my other brother, and we went. We got a nice little pig. I just remember, I'm pretty sure it was a nice little sow, like 60 pounds, and he ripped it up right there in front of us, and man, he made some. Over here, we call it adobo. It's a Filipino dish. And he had some potatoes. And, man, it was grub. And ever since then, I was like, this is the living. You know? Yeah. I mean, how to catch and you know, you process everything. We ate everything. Of course, we didn't eat the – we gutted it. We ate the whole pig. It was only like 60 pounds by the time we got out with it, you know. But it was really good. We ate it for – for dinner, and it fed all of us, and we was all happy.
Yeah.
And that was it. You know, that was...
So your first memory was just that, the dogs bringing food.
Yeah. Dogs was right there. We grabbed the dogs off the lead. It was pretty, like, you know, was cool. What was actually was fun, you know?
Yeah.
Grabbing the dog, like, oh, we're going hunting. Next, you know, like, pretty much I didn't even know what we was doing.
Yeah.
My older brother knew what we was doing, and yeah, and that was it. You know, that was... That was icing on the cake from there. I remember that was our first time hunting. Ever since then, was just game on.
Yeah. So when did you start getting your own dogs?
Oh, my first time I ever had a dog. I want to say my cousin let me have a dog from that, like 5 years old, 6 years old. He was like, this is your dog.
Yeah.
Make sure you feed him. Come help me feed him. Take care of the dogs. You know?
And you go out with him at first?
Yeah. And that was all with him because I lived with him. That was the only time we used to hunt, was always with him.
Right.
My cousin or my dad didn't let me hunt with nobody else besides with him.
Just because of safety?
Yeah, just because of safety. And then where we used to live on the farm, man, was pigs was always around.
Yeah.
They was always bothering the farm, the crops, you know, and that was our job. Like, that was one thing we did, you know, take care of the crop because at least they would keep them, start busting up the tomato farm, the cucumbers, and eating all the mac nuts.
So do you think, like, in the as far as Hawaii goes, let me actually mute this guy here. Is Hawaii? Do you think it? What's the main purpose, guys? Are pig hunting? You know, is it food or both? A little bit of food and they're destructive to the.
It's a balance, both.
Right.
Yeah, it's food and, of course, pigs are nuisance. You know.
Yeah.
They bust out crops. They bust out people's farms. You know, like. As we grew up, we knew, you know, they would bust on the rock walls because a majority of them, you know, they would, before the cowboys, you know, where the farm used to live at, there's rock walls and they would just always bust the wall.
Right.
We have to go put the wall back up, bust the wall, you know, it was always. And then, of course, you know, that was a way that we were sustainable for if you wanted to eat some pork, and that's the way we used to do it.
Yeah.
Just like that. Was it? Yeah.
And so you, like now, what do you... Do you think you've evolved any way in a houndsman? Because what's the story? Like, you know, when you first started, it was all, you know, it was a food resource.
Yes.
Now, do you think it's a little bit different or do you think it's the same?
To me, it's the same. And
is some of the image, like I know in the houndsman, I guess what I'm trying to say is like even the image has kind of improved a lot from houndsman, you know what I mean, over the years.
Yes.
So it used to be really... I don't know the right word for it, but it was a necessity, right? So when you first started, you know, it was the dogs were a tool. And now are they more like, I don't want to say like your pets, but you were telling me a story about losing your dog.
Yeah,
it was a pretty emotional story,
to me, man, that's
right?
The dogs is if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have food on our table,
right?
Unless you stalk, you know, like with the hounds, like you said, like us the dogs is everything. Like I teach my sons is that. Money can't buy a good dog. You make your dog, and then top of that, but a good dog like that, memories is going to last forever, you know?
Right.
Forever. And I feel like with my dogs is you can't put a price on any of my dogs. I don't care what anybody says. For how many work we put in and how much time we put in and the sacrifice, they're willing to die. But man, that's what they love to do.
Yeah.
That's their nature.
Yeah.
They want to hunt. They want the chase. You don't tell ever a wolf that when he kills other animals, you know, that's a cruelty, but
right. That's
what they're bred to do. That's what they love to do.
Yeah.
And I feel that way, you know, like I always tell my sons, you know, your dogs, if it wasn't for your dogs, you wouldn't have food on your table.
Right.
You know?
You think that's where your passion comes with the dogs is just a deep connection. It started with food and then... Even
the bond,
the
bond of just raising them from a pup, you know, watching them, you know, have the excitement of love to train your dog,
you know,
love to, you know, have those up and down days. It's like anything else, you know, watching them go up and down. Of course, not every dog is going to be the best, but you know, some maybe just be a house dog,
yeah.
But some dogs are just, I know for sure you've been hunting for many years, some dogs just have it, some dogs don't, you know.
Oh, yeah. So tell me about your dogs. What do you like in a dog and what do you got right now? How's that evolved? What was your first dog and what are the dogs you have now?
I guess as we grew up, of course, when we grew up on the farm, as we never have these like, I want to say like all these breeds of dogs.
Yeah.
Back in the day, we called them poi dogs. It was all kind of poi? Mixed dogs. Poi dogs. It was pretty much like...
whatever you got.
Whatever you got. I mean, one dog and breed, the other dog and breed. It's like local style. I mean, yeah. It's pretty much what it is. If Hawaii people know, they would laugh because it is true.
Right.
And then everything you had was had some kind of pit bull in it. Or you would have a pure pit bull. Right. And us raised on a chicken farm, you know, we always had to make sure these pit bulls don't kill our chicken because that was part of our lifestyle, chickens. You know, we had a lot of fighting roosters, you right. know. And that was pretty much it. Then you would have like some, oh, this is this breed, this is that breed. But as we grew up, my cousin never really pay attention into those. It was just more whatever dogs that he had, he could get from other friends. Like, hey, this is a pup, try this pup. And that's pretty much it. Like when I remember when we grew up, it was a lot of like everything had to have bull inside. Everything. Then as I started getting older, I mean, for pit bulls, like when you let them go, I know, like I was remember talking to you during hunting is like, you see the terrain we hunt, we can't have, like, it's hard to walk a pit bull in the forest all day.
Yeah. So what we were like to give people, we weren't hunting beaches. I can tell you that. Yeah. I was in Hawaii. It was like a rainforest. Really interesting. It's like all one slope. So it's like basically, it's like all when you say mountains, it's like one mountain.
One mountain, just one slope down. Just goes up and goes down.
And there's a bunch of ravines on that mountain. You think of it just like a volcano, basically that we were hunting on. And so you just keep going up and up and up, and so there's no end to the top. I think the top was 13,000 feet, and we were about 4,000 feet, is what you're telling me. And the other thing that was that I didn't for me was. The road system, you don't have a road system that traverses that mountain, right? The road systems go up and down. And there's some that go sideways, but not a lot. So we had a dog, one of your young dogs.
Yeah, one of my younger dogs. We were just trying to train. That was one of my young upcoming pup. And then, you know, my cousin brought one of his dogs. I was kind of upset, you know, but it's, you know, he tried to help. And that dog I feel like that dog was just not meant. He's never hunted for in the forest in his life.
And he's never, and I can tell you what I seen was, is you had a pack of dogs and it'd be like mixing packs.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So your dogs 100%. Were all packed together and that dog was a separate dog.
Separate dog.
You know, it was like it was doing its own thing and it wasn't listening to you as much. No, I mean, it just wasn't.
It wasn't smooth. You know, and I appreciate it because when I lost my dog, my cousin really said like the dog was on the chain. And of course, you know, everybody shows videos of a dog, but I believe, again, every terrain is different, you know. Yeah. We're not like, everybody has certain spots they get to hunt. Everybody's, especially on this island, if you notice, all different climates. Yeah. There's not just place. Like, the place we went yesterday was beautiful. I mean, we got to drive to a spot, let dogs go, drop the dogs. But majority of the time, like how we hunt, like we get to the spot and we straight hiking. We plunge into bushes and you got to cut your trail on and it is what it is. You know, you got to go. I mean, like for me, for me and your son, it was like, I want to try to, you know, use the connections I have, friends, you know, like, to take you guys, try to get a good see the island in a different experience. Because sometimes your first time could be last time.
You be last time. I was like, hell with this.
I didn't want to do that. That's the reason why.
All right, so you're gonna give me the real tour.
Yeah,
next
hopefully
time.
Come back the next time. Then we'll do it when
step it up. One
step
at
it
a
up.
Time.
One more time. Just bring your goggles and your football helmet, the same hard hat, because we'll be needing that crawling.
All right.
But getting back to the dogs again, like I as I grew up again. I veered away from pit bulls because you can't hunt constantly with them because the terrain we hunt in, right?
Right.
Like by the time you let them go, you want to hold the dog, you're tired, let them go. And next know when they do, you run into a big boar and next know they get cut up and then you got to stitch them up.
Yeah.
And then you're down for a couple weeks, right? And if you're sustainable living on that, as we grew up, you know, of course we had different meat to eat, but again, you know, like you got to take care of the dog. It's just different. And then as I got older, again, like you're going to learn from everybody's, you know, theories and this and that, you know. And like for me, I was more into like of bay dogs. I like my dogs to be fast, quick, agility, and stick it, you know, just stick and move, you know. You know, like to bite them and spin them, you know, and wait there. And then if we like them, we have a chance to, we can rope them, grab them, we can castrate them, let them go, or, you know, hey, we can bring them home.
Right.
If it's ugly, you know what I mean? Like I said, like for me, like my dogs eat good. We rope him, and then, you know, if it's good, if it's too big, we can. Of course, we got to shoot him. But other than that, majority of the time, we'll grab them and rope them and stab them. Right. You know, that's how we was raised. We didn't have guns.
Yeah.
We never have guns when we grew up. You know, we was always just let go of dogs, you know, and just hopefully they grab them and you got to try to run behind them and grab the legs. But as I could start affording certain dogs, you know, of course we bought dogs, you know, I got into Catahoulas. Catahoulas are real good. Just that was here. It was hard. I couldn't, everybody say it's purebred, you know, which it is, but Nixon though, you don't know how much is purebred when they say purebred, because you never know if they put inbreeding them, you know, right. I don't know. So
yeah,
I just was blessed with some good friends. You know, I got into hunting and one of my good friends, I can tell his name, man. I always remember took him hunting and he got hooked and that was it. And he had no kids and man, he went off into dogs. He bought it like purebreds and he started crossing them. And then I bought him purebred from another guy. And then next to know, like we made our own bloodline, you know, and that's pretty much again. So our bloodline right now is, it's a black marker crossed with some Whippet, Bull Terrier, has a little bit of Dutch, a little bit of Kelpie, you know, of everything.
Yeah.
They're fast dogs and they got to have a motor.
Yeah. They all look, I mean, they're all thin and really quick, like lightweight.
Yeah.
Super.
Yeah. Especially the areas that we hunt in, they can't be too big because you see the thickness they got to run through.
Yeah.
They got to climb, jump, you know, in and out, you know, like you try to send like a big, like again, like I had big Catahoulas, like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they're not good, like, but certain spots you can hunt, like nice forests, you know, ranch land.
So this is the dog you have now. What did you start with?
So what I started with, I had a Catahoula and then crossed with some Greyhound. Actually, the other one was Greyhound Whippets.
Oh, yeah.
That was it. That was actually one of the first dogs we bought. It was Greyhound Whippets. And those dogs was really good, fast, strong, you know. But just the thing is that, again, like, you just lose dogs, man. They end up, you know, out of the blues. We couldn't afford cut collars back in the day.
Yeah. Man, so you don't use collars and or?
Oh, man. Like, so I want to say it's going to be like at least 9 years ago already. Since 9 years ago. Man, I had everything. I had a collar, I had a vest, this, that, and I had a vest, you know. I figured my dogs was one of my Catahoulas. She was big, and she had I remember buying a few vests. She had nice half vests, and we had a cut collar in her too. Same thing on a moonlight, and then she ended up getting, what is the odds, like, she ended up getting, like, right under the armpit, right where the vest ends.
Really?
And then another one was, She passed away. That was one of my good dogs. I'll come down. Then another one is same thing again. She was one of my, she was a little bit different. She had a little bit of bull, but she wasn't like a bull. Was from my good friend again. His name is Paul Freitas. It was one of his red dobies, red nose, Whippet, black markers. It was an interesting line, but that dog was amazing. And she had a cut collar and she died with a cut collar on with just one shot right as of a cut collar right in the jaw. For me, it would make the dogs more stiff. They couldn't move as much.
Right.
And then, of course, they get the overheat. You know.
Yeah, I was going to ask about heating. Because it's pretty... I've been complaining about the heat since I've been here. It's been too damn hot for me. I sent you a thing that says we have black ice back home. I'm kind of jealous right now that I don't get to see the black ice. But
you get the red ice over here.
Exactly. But so do you think it emboldens the dogs a little bit more, or is it just the stiffness?
The stiffness, and then like, again, like, because we don't have the privilege to drive everywhere. Right. With a vest on a dog all day, they won't be the last.
Yeah.
But even with a cut collar, to me, my theory, you know, everybody has their own theory, like, yeah, it is, but like, if your dogs are fast and move, and then it, to me, another way it is, I look at it, my dogs before with the vest and the cut collars, it just makes them think they're more bulletproof, and then they get more dumb and reckless.
Yeah.
You know, and then they think they can go in with a vest, they don't get, and then, but like, I just said enough of it already. I said, you know, 10 years ago, I said, no, enough already. I'm just going to let them learn, you know, try to fix my dogs and not getting smashed all the time.
Do you think it's work? I mean, you think it's at least the same?
Or? Yes, it does. After a while, once they get a few hits here and there, you know, and they feel it, then they understand not to.
They respect it a little bit.
Yeah, they definitely respect it. They definitely did. Like, this last pig we had, man, like, it was, we caught a few nice ones, and then that last one, you know, it went in. The younger dogs, you know, they thought they could, because the first two pigs, they figured that they could, I already knew what happened. They think there was nothing to them. They just, like piranhas, they just stick them all and they just worked him, and then we got him, and then shit, we went to a place where there is big pigs, like real big pigs, and they went in and there was mixing a good bit.
Treated him like a
sound like it was like a dog pound. Just wow. Dogs just getting just smashed. You could hear them getting like just hit, and then you know I could reach there. You know, my best dog ended up walking back to me, and then the other dog just walked away. It's because of that, because my alpha male ended up like getting smashed because right. He went in, because the younger dogs for sure went in and thought they could try to,
yeah,
you know, try to test them. And next thing you know, they all got tested, and the other ones was faster. My older dog wasn't as fast. Maybe he got stuck. He was right in the way, and he just got plowed.
Yeah,
it's how it goes, man. It's how you roll the dice.
Yeah, no, that sounds like, I mean, it's definitely a different, for me, cat hunting, it's a whole different game. You know what I mean? So I appreciate you taking me out. It was the first time I actually seen pigs.
Yeah,
hogs,
you know. I know. I feel like yesterday wasn't the best day of hunting. You know, so today, like, I'm fortunate enough, you know, I have another friend is going to try to take us today and try to get us some, you can see a little bit different terrain, a different, yeah, different place of the island. Again, you're going to notice how it changes.
Yeah.
You know, compared to where we was to now, you know.
Yesterday we were in, and we actually ended up shooting a sheep. Bradley, my son, got you. Thank you for taking us out.
Thanks to the guy who brought us. One of our good friends.
I wouldn't have got that. I wouldn't have known where to even start before. So I called and I was like, hey, Hezekiah, I'm coming to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's a bunch of islands, bro. Where are you coming? Where are you staying? And I'm like, well, I'm in the Big Island. And then it was 20 minutes away from where you live.
Yeah. What is the odds, you know?
Yeah. So that was awesome because you're about the first customer that I can think of that – I mean, you've been talking. I always joke. I said, you've been a customer before I've been working here, because I was still working at Intel when you started.
Yeah, I remember the first time I ordered, like, I didn't even have internet. I ended up just, I remember going on somebody like W Hunting Supplies, and what had some, I was interested in getting my first GPS. And right. I remember it was the DC-30s. I had it for how long, you know? And then I talked to your wife and like, oh, my husband's not home. I'm running it right now.
I'm pregnant.
And
so it's,
yeah, I'm pregnant. And like, I'm so sorry. Do you have a bunch of orders? Could you just bear with me? I was like, no, no problem. But
yeah,
like for me and you guys is you get to like, you get to experience the Hawaii experience, or like, we always say the aloha spirit. You
yeah,
know? Like,
yeah.
That's the reason why I say, like, now you come to Hawaii, you have family here. Regardless what color skin we are, regardless where you at in anywhere in the world, you give us a call, man, you come in, like, hey, you have friends. You know, this is how we are. So Hawaii is, you know.
Yeah.
Hawaii people, that's how we was raised, you know. Like, hey, you take care of each other. Somewhere down the line, you know, hey, they'll take care of you. No matter what it is. We don't do something to get something back. We do it out of our heart. We do it out of, you know, like you said, aloha spirit, you know. I know it sounds kind of corny, but, you know, everybody said, oh, what is aloha? But there's no true meaning. There's a meaning of aloha. There's everything. Aloha is everything. Aloha is, you know, like, again, like I could have, you really could have called, like, you know, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm busy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
I make time. I take days off, you know. Again, I didn't do it because, hey, this guy is coming. No, I did it. I don't even know. I never did meet you in my life. Never did, you know?
No. Nope.
I just order shit from you and like, hey, I need this. I need that. Like, bing, 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 you know?
Try to make sure we get that part of it taken care of. That's an easy thing to do.
I think, again, you know, it was just a blessing, you know, when all meets back around, you know? I mean, I just wanted, my biggest thing is like, hey, this guy's first time. Why? Like, you want it to be, especially you have your son, you have your daughter, you know? Like, you guys, it seemed like the same way how your guys' values, the same way how my values in my house, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey. I'm a country boy. I know where he's staying at. Like you said, like since I've been here, since my son's been there. I mean, since my son is, my oldest son right now he's 21, and I want to say stayed at the hotel maybe three times in his lifetime.
Right.
Because he's just like you. Like, I can't handle so much of it. But
it's lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
I can tell you what, your version of Hawaii is much better than that version down there. Like, we went and sat, it was like a nice pool and stuff like that, and it's cool. Like I said, you walk to the shops and you see the t-shirts and all that, but like sitting here at your place, I'm looking out over the ocean right now, which I'm not an ocean person,
yeah.
You know, like, but I can see being on a mountain, and that's the cool part that I didn't, I mean, I've heard about this, you know, the mountains in Hawaii, and I knew because there's a lot of pig hunters and hunters and customers that I've seen. I'm like, there's got to be something more in Hawaii than just beaches. And so that I'm really appreciative that you
We didn't even touch this yet. We didn't even touch this island. Like I said, we didn't even go around. You stayed in, like, you went like to point from A to point B. Like, man, you didn't go to Z yet, you know?
Yeah.
And this island has so much great hunters. I'm just one of them. I don't even call myself. I'm still learning every time. Man, I
where do you think? So the I went and got some dry ice to ship this ram head back, yes. Right? He's going to ship it back. So I went because that gal, her husband or her significant other or whatever, she goes, yeah, he goes hunting. Because I was telling her, yeah, we're going to go out again. She knew what I was getting the dry ice for.
Oh, she knew
was
her,
like,
yeah.
She's like, would you shoot a pig or a sheep or a goat? And I was like, oh, my son shot a sheep. He goes, oh, that's what I figured the dry ice was for. She goes, yeah, we're going to try and go out again this afternoon. She goes, oh, my significant other always goes out early morning. I said, well, that's where we went yesterday.
So I mean, everybody, again, like for me, I love hunting all types. Like when I go early morning, like we don't come home till the afternoon. Like we stay all day. We make it work. We try to work out again. We love working the dogs. You know, yeah. We love just being up there. And then I prefer, again, like moonlights. I love moonlight because pigs are nocturnal. So they're up all night. So nighttime they're moving. And that's when you want to catch some big ones, you know, you want to do there. And then again, everybody has different techniques in different areas. This whole island, every side of the island is different. Like, some pigs run, some pigs don't even run. You know, like, again, like I caught my biggest pigs next to where you think they would never have pigs.
Really?
You know, like right next to people's houses. And that's the reason why they're so fat, because they're smart. Yeah. Everybody thinks so. Pigs are dumb, but they're not dumb.
Yeah.
They're smart. And then like us, we castrate them a lot. And that's one of our, as we grew up, that was one of them. You know, you cut them young, you let them go, you catch them back, you know, you have some nice meat again. And, you know, you don't kill all the boars, and which I don't kill all my boars, but I'll kill... If I do, and I know that my dogs are hungry, I'll feed them. I'll feed the whole pig tomorrow. I'll debone that whole thing, and I'll hang them up, salt them, and put them in my smokehouse, and cut them up, throw them in my freezer, and just boil them whenever they want to eat.
So what do you prefer for eating? What's your choice?
Of course, I like those young sows, like around, I want to say like 100 pounds. That's like the best ones. I like that. And then, of course, we call them Laholis, and they're pig castrated. I think they call them in the mainland. I think like Florida, they call them bar hogs. Here we call them like Hawaii. We say Laholis. That's a prized pig. Like I remember trying to tell you yesterday, like whenever you cut one here, like your dogs ought to know that smell. Your dogs, that's like, you know, if your dogs can smell that, you have good dogs.
Yeah.
Because when you cut them at a young age, they don't have no smell. They don't breathe. They don't fight. And they just eat and they just roam. And you can be right next to them. And you wouldn't even know they're right there. Like your dogs can, if your dogs don't notice it, your dogs can walk right past them.
Oh,
I've
really?
Seen that many of times. And I remember one time we was hunting. I took my cousin them and we all went, was a hunting tournament. And my cousin brought his dog, my friend brought his dog, and they all went out. And then his dog was out, all our dogs. And my dog ended up, I remember she was a good dog, Catahoula. She ended up coming back like right behind of us. And we just was right there, like not even, I want to say 10 yards away from us, and we just was in the right area. We was making noise. It was just cracking, just chopping it up, and then his dogs is out, and I remember, like, he comes back, and then my dog just come back, and she's still looking, and then she went right back where we went, and she started barking at the tree, at a log, and it was covered in, like, we say, ferns.
Yeah.
And I remember telling me, bro, what are you dog barking at? This dog barking at a tree, then right there, boom, it just blew up.
Really?
Had a Laholi right there come blowing right out. Raw. And good enough, like he had his stuck dog, and he just ended up just hammering it right in front of us, and we got it.
Right.
Yeah, we ended up placing with that pig. I want to say I think was second place on that one.
So on those, you're talking about tournaments or whatever. So you guys do these, what they call like a tournament, right?
Yes.
So you'll pay.
So it's pretty much, you know, like it's a lot has changed now on tournaments nowadays. Like with his iPhones, it's the best thing that can happen. A lot of cheaters. Like my son, like, you know, there's a lot of cheaters. Like when we go, what time now, son? 3:20. Yeah, we're gonna be heading out in 10 minutes. We're gonna be going. We're gonna try to catch us another hog right now. But on these tournaments now, you know, with iPhones, like you have to have a card.
So explain the tournament really quick.
So the tournament is pretty much you have a biggest boar.
All right.
They have a biggest boar category. They have a biggest sow.
Mm-hmm.
Some tournaments do combined weight. And then the other one is a castrated, is a Laholi.
So is it an overnight or a deal, or is it a weekend?
No, it's everybody. That's the reason why now, like with the iPhones, you can't hunt at night.
Right.
It's illegal to hunt at night.
Okay.
Everybody don't realize that. Unless you have private land, you have some place where you are allowed to go.
So in Hawaii, you got to hunt during the day.
Yeah, it's from 6. But it's usually from 6 in the morning to 6, like half an hour before the sun goes down, or after sun or something like that. But that's the start time, 6 to 6. And then one of the biggest thing on the categories as we grew up was Laholis. That was one pretty much like if you put in like, then there's jackpots and be like everyone has a jackpot. And that was one of the, if you catch one of those, not everybody's going to catch one, right? You know, so like you try to catch one of those, you know, you have a definitely chance of trying to win something because not everybody's going to catch them. But nowadays, like everybody's cut in a way, it's good because everybody now is cutting and there's a lot of loholas come up. But in these tournaments nowadays, you still can. But as the years got on, you know, I want to say early 2000, I mean like 2010s, mid 2010s, it was a lot of people, you know, we knew they would hunt nighttime and these guys would be, some guys would play some sneaky shit, you know, catch the pig the night before and put them in a cooler, you know, and they said they couldn't tell, or like they'll catch them in a trap, you know, and they'll let them go. And, you know, you don't want to do that. You ruin your name, you know, it's your blood, you know, you don't want to be known as a cheater.
Yeah.
So, but, other than that, like now with iPhones, shit, you know, just a few years back, the guy started making tournaments where you have to hold a card. Hold a card. You got to get a footage on your phone. And if you don't have that, you're disqualified.
Really?
You know, yeah. And that's the best way. And you can't, you can't cheat. You can't go nighttime. You got to have the dogs in action. You got to have the card. You got to have iPhones. You can't lie, right? You have your time, place.
Exactly. Everything's there.
Yeah. So that's one of the tournaments and it's good, you know, because this past, man, I remember, I mean.
How much is it to get into one of those tournaments? What's the?
It's $100. Usually it's $125 and then you enter the jackpot. Pick, every category has a jackpot.
So you pay for each jackpot?
It's, you know.
How many people together?
So usually it's a four-man team. Sometimes it's, and it's.
So like, each man plays, or is it 150?
It all depends. If you go with if you bring your own dogs, you know, if you like, I remember going a few times where every one of my friends, everybody just chip in.
Yeah.
And we all chip in. We all split them. We all split right down the pipe. You know, everybody chips in. Everybody had bring a dog, and that's how we go.
Yeah.
But since now, as my sons grew up, you know, as my sons started growing up, where I'll just take them, and that's all I need.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how it goes. I don't need, I mean, I love hunting with my friends, but at the time, my sons are too young yet. But now when my sons grew up, like, oh, that's one of the things that they would love to do. You know, we'll go.
Yeah. And how long does it go for? A weekend or
no, like, just six Saturday morning to Saturday afternoon. That's
So you get 12 hours or 12 whatever, hours, whatever your day is.
Huh. You win cash. You win, you know, good prizes. Some tournaments is real good. Some tournaments is medium, you know. But, you know, we want some good money. But more of it's like just, you know, who has some good dogs. That's it. And they said the hounds, you know.
Yeah.
What dogs, what, you know, of course, you know, guys who has certain
where do they
ones.
Meet up to – like weigh or scale or how? What do you?
So you have a cutoff time. Usually it's at every tournament is different.
Yeah.
Usually 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock.
Right.
And you know you got to be there before that gate close. You got to be there's a gate usually there. Like if you're there at if you're at inside that gate at 4 o'clock and everybody's waiting for you, you're good to go. But once that gate's closed at four, you ain't getting in. No matter what, you can't cheat. There's no calling. I remember when we grew up, like there's like, oh, there's a call in. You can come in. Like, oh, you have a grace period. Screw that.
Yeah.
I mean, I had that happen to me one time. We work hard with me and my boys. We hunt all day and all of a sudden, all guy call in. But because, again, it's not fair. Some, you know, I don't want to mention names, but you can't be doing that. Fucking calling in like shit. We ain't buying certain time.
Yeah.
Let's compete.
How far, like where do those normally happen? Like are they here, right here?
Yeah, they're right here. Like even, like there's, I have my friends, they hold their own tournaments, like just a bunch of like invitational, there's tournaments on all the islands. There's benefits, you know, like we try to help. Like there's some for like, you know, like fundraisers, you know, like some people.
How often do you think they do those?
Oh, man, there's a tournament. I want to say in a year here on the Big Island, man. Oh, there's I want to say at least 10 tournaments a year, you know. Really? There's all different types, you know, like a lot of, some is invitational again, like some is just like open to the public, you know, not public, you got to have hunting license, you know.
So if anybody, we got to wrap up here because we got to take off, but what would you say if somebody from the mainland was coming here on vacation and they're like, hey buddy, how, I want to go hunting pigs or whatever. So what?
The biggest thing is like, again, like you know the network, you know who I am. And I mean, like it's hard to say, of course, you're going to pay these guys who guide hunts. You know, there's all these guys. Like, if you want to do it, go guide with them. Like, they're fortunate enough. Like, we call them Hollywood hunts. You know what I mean? Oh, like, they're fortunate enough to have the private land. They can take you. You want to spend the money, go right ahead. But, like, for me, I don't have the money, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I'll take you. Well, I'll just from
I'm
family
saying
and friends.
It's not easy to, like, to number one, pig hunting is whatever. We've seen some cool pigs and stuff like that. But you're going to have to find somebody with private property.
Private property, no matter what. Or like somebody who has like, who has passes. Pretty much.
I mean, because it's not easy to get to public land around here. And there's,
so there is, but there's only a certain time of the year it's open and you want to go. But by the time you go,
it's crazy.
Yeah, everybody's standing in line. There's nothing left in there.
Just follow everybody.
Might as well
in line.
Go to Costco.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, well, anyways, I appreciate you getting me and my son out of the hotel. We, like I said, he was pretty ecstatic about shooting a sheep head. Now I got a ram head I'm trying to pack home. Thank you very much.
Well, hopefully we should get you some Tusk, you know, put them back and you're paying that. But you I mean, hopefully you guys come back. It's not the last time. Don't let the sun chase you away, you know. Yeah. It's only a little bit of sun. You got a
Can
good
you tell
tan.
Me when it's like 50 and 60 degrees?
It's never here. I mean, you'll go certain spots.
We almost got to 50 degrees.
Almost, buddy.
We got like 64, 63,
I
want to
say the coldest time of the year here is January, February.
Really?
Yeah, that's the coldest time here. December, but January, February, I believe it's colder on that time.
I'll have to try that time next.
But you got
to
come
Problem
back.
Problem is, that's my cat season, so I'm like,
get me anytime you come back, it's a little bit heat. It's good for you.
I'm going to take, when you come over to our area, you come in that January, and it'll be cold. I'll take you on snowmobiles.
Me and cold weather does not get along.
You're wimping out about
Look at this. I get shirt shots. I'm waking up in the morning with no shirt and just shorts.
It was like 60. I don't know. We seen 65 yesterday. I think you were like, look, buddy, it's 65. And I'm like, I want to see, show me some 50s. Like, and you guys are all bundled up in sweatshirts. I'm in a t-shirt still sweating, man. I'm like, what the hell?
But, hey, thank you for everything, buddy. We got to go.
Let's wrap it up. Let's go see if we can find one.
Okay, shoot. Along.
All right.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.